All right. I just want to throw this in here. Episode 18. That's the big 1-8. We got a big celebration planned for it. Right? You guys, did you guys not get the email?
Oh, the Kyle, no. Was it a Kyle Busch joke?
He wanted to do Rowdy Energy, I'm pretty sure. But they don't sponsor us. Nobody so shall not mention them.
Yeah, I'm not talking about Rowdy Energy. And I went to 7-Eleven and it wasn't there.
I had a whole thing prepared.
Oh, for your birthday?
Okay, well.
No.
When Kyle Busch stops lying for like a week and a half. It's in,
how long do we? How many times do we have to celebrate? Is Josh's birthday one of those birthdays that we have to celebrate until we get to the next time that it's his birthday, and then we have to celebrate it, and it's just perpetually that we are celebrating Josh's birthday?
Yeah, Josh, you need to chill out.
Life is a celebration. When you learn when life is a celebration that you're still clicking, that's the moment you can start celebrating your birthday for a year at a time.
Love it. I'm going to
play the damn music.
Hello and welcome to the E-Racer Unnamed Podcast. I'm Parker Kligerman, your host and NASCAR driver, and you know the rest. Joined by the only guy who's ever looked up race control controllers, Joshua Mendoza. And also the guy who has been considered the controller king for longer than there has been controllers, AJ Henderson. This is the E-Racer Podcast. Let's do it.
Oh, you're sitting down this week, huh? Wow.
Yeah.
Must have been a long day.
Tired. I haven't eaten dinner.
Hey, Parker, I just want to say, I know you said that as a joke, but I really do have a race control controller that I use for all of my race controlling. So
I know. And for our listeners out there, he's showing us literally a stream deck with all sorts of race control buttons on it.
It's very handy to hand out penalties to Parker during Monday night racing events, specifically disqualifications. So
AJ, before
when
we go any further,
lines before the start finish line.
Yeah, before we go any further, which I've never done, it was perfectly legal. I want to jump in real quick and just give a shout out to Josh, who celebrated a birthday last week. Want to make sure we get that in for the second week in a row.
Wait, I thought you were about to talk to me.
I want you and I to make sure we just get that in here real quick. It was his birthday. If anyone didn't know, it was his birthday last week, but we're still celebrating because Josh never stops celebrating his birthday.
Yeah, it's actually a national holiday, so we're actually not obligated to work today. So we're not doing the podcast.
It's a miracle we did this podcast. We weren't even supposed to. It's Josh.
Well, thank
Mendoza's
you all for tuning in. You can send birthday. Money to my Venmo at GameSense, and goodbye.
All right, shut that off. Shut that off. Also, I like how AJ is drinking on this one. He's drinking. What are you drinking there, AJ? What are you drinking?
I'm drinking whiskey.
Oh, what kind?
Neat.
I can tell.
I don't want. I'd be embarrassed if I admitted, to be honest.
Is it Screwball? Is it Screwball?
No, is I was going to buy Williams? That, but I'm not sure is how that's Evan? Made.
Is it Evan Williams?
No, it's actually Canadian Club. It's a very cheap whiskey.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorites. Yeah.
Well, I like that.
It's very smooth.
They used to sponsor Dario Franchitti in IndyCar.
Oh.
Do you remember that? The Canadian Club car. It was 07. He won he won the Indy 500 in the rain that year. Canadian Club. I was there. I actually was there for the first portion of the race. Yeah. Look at me. My memory.
I didn't know that. Oh, I
thought it was a cool looking car.
It's pretty crazy.
I've always wanted to I've drank Canadian Club once or twice. It's kind of sweet. It's like
it's very smooth. It's very basic. Yeah.
It's like a Crown Royal.
Yeah. It's very unintrusive.
Right. You should reach out to Screwball and have them sponsor you for a Cup Series ride. Just saying. It'd be a perfect sponsorship.
Wait a second.
You can have the sheep on your car.
Say the sponsor for Cup
Series. Screwball?
The way I look at it, the way I look at it is insert X for Cup Series ride, sure. I don't care. I'll be the biggest fan.
All right.
I'm the fan. Good. Yeah, Canadian Club, you want to sponsor me in the Cup Series? I'm your fan. I'll drink Canadian Club. I'll drink it all day.
There you go. There you go.
I'll drink it in the race car.
I'll drink it before I work out.
Oh, no.
Should we talk racing?
Yeah, I don't think we've talked about racing yet.
Well, what do we want to talk about? There's not much that happened in this last weekend. I mean, we went to Martinsville. Now everyone's back from Martinsville. Nothing happened. And Australia went off without a hitch.
Australia was very entertaining.
Yeah. Well, I just want to hold on. Before we go that far, before we go into detail, I just want to say something real quick. Let me say this, as Kyle Petty would say.
Oh, my goodness.
I tweeted on Saturday that this is all I could think off the top of my head that was racing this weekend. You had MotoGP at Coda on Sunday, hosted by yours truly. You had Formula One at Australia. You had NASCAR at Martinsville, also starting on Thursday. So you had Truck Series, which I raced in. Then you had Friday, Xfinity, Crash Fest, slash the boy got the big finish at Martinsville. And then you had Cup Series. IndyCar was at Long Beach on NBC following MotoGP. Got a huge rating, by the way. You had IMSA at Long Beach on Saturday afternoon. You had Formula E in Italy, Rome. And then you had World Superbike that kicked off their season this weekend. And you had Supercross. If you liked motorsports this weekend, you could have sat down on Thursday and literally never watched anything else, I'm pretty sure. That my girlfriend Shannon, she turned to me on Sunday night because I was like, "Well, I got to catch the F1 race. I didn't get to watch it." And she goes, "Please, no more racing." So there's a lot out there.
It was a lot. It was insane.
That's one sentence that has a lot to unpack there. So,
well, she does get exposed to a lot.
Quick Parker is his own room, which is enclosed with racing, and that's it. There's nothing outside of it.
It's literally bursting at the seams with racing.
Oh, man.
Before we get into NASCAR or anything like that, Parker, tell us about your MotoGP hosting experience.
Wait. I want to hear about this truck race. Let's go in order.
Well, we can talk to truck race first. We'll get to truck.
Wait,
so
I thought MotoGP happened before.
No, truck race was on Thursday. It's chronological order.
Man, I'm all screwed up.
I did it in two Sundays. You are
backwards. Yeah, he did it last week.
You are sort of correct. Yeah, this was the live one on NBC, which was intense. I thought it went all right. I probably could have done some things better. So hosting is new to me, although it sounds weird. I've been in TV now, 7 years, 8 years? I've never really hosted a lot. So I've always been like an analyst or... You know, I do the digital show In the Wall, which is hosting, but it's more my own thing, right? It's not like built by a producer. I build it out with a producer and I know everything is happening and I've hosted car shows, but that's once again sort of being a part of that. But when you do this sort of thing, they sort of design the whole show and then you just need to like do it to what they want. So that was tough and it's live. But I hopefully, I think I'll get more chances at it. Hopefully, fingers crossed. That was cool. I do enjoy MotoGP. It is an incredible sport. But Thursday, I raced in the Truck Series, and we didn't get the practice or qualify. We hopped in. We started 18th, and about two laps in, I had a mechanical issue that I will just say had to do with the throttle pedal. I'm not going to go into detail on this, but just know I had never experienced this in my life. I've never seen this, nor has my team. But this hampered us through the rest of the race in a major way. And I'm not going to go into what it is because it's not fair to everyone. But
somebody does want to.
Can I ask, could you buy the parts with a single bill?
No, it wasn't a $1 part.
Maybe he's going on something more complex here.
Got it. Yep. I was going to say I'd be willing to throw you a dollar in support of your racing efforts to fix that in the future.
I think what you're saying, Park. I don't think, you know, the crazy part is this is a part that we don't create, came from a larger team. And it broke. And so I was driving with a very interesting situation. And I'm not really quite sure how we even ran as well as we did. But let's just say that full throttle was tough to know. And any position of the throttle was tough to know. So, it was interesting. With that, we were decent. We were probably 8th to 10th place truck. We finished 7th or 8th in the stage, second stage. got some stage points. And then late in the last run of the race, I felt like the long run, we were actually really competitive because I could get in a rhythm, which helped with some of the issues we were fighting. And I felt like we were good in that sense. We just didn't, it was never like a long, long run. And so the race kind of got away from us. We finished 16th. I think we probably, you know, in a perfect world, we should have finished somewhere like 12th, which I would have been happy with. But considering the issue that we had and that we even finished was remarkable. So overall, good day for us. And we'll move on to Bristol Dirt.
Yeah.
That's my whole thing. That was it.
That's all you got for us. That's all she wrote.
Yeah.
You unveiled a pretty glorious paint scheme. It's in my top five of favorite truck paint schemes ever. It's very good. JD killed.
So that was cool. I got a call from the team. Josh will throw up a picture if you're watching on YouTube. And if you're not, you're a listener, because I actually listened to our podcast the other day, and I feel like we need to shout out the listeners more often. And I don't like when podcasts, by the way, talk about things because they're on video that they don't show or describe. Makes me very annoyed. Very annoyed.
Oh, okay.
So we got to make sure we do a good show.
Parker right now is pointing his finger up in the air.
Yeah.
Okay. His hand is off screen.
No, he's in the lower right hand corner of the screen.
This is important stuff to describe. He's getting madder. He's getting mad.
Not smiling, but also kind of mad.
Oh, you're talking about like in the conversation.
Makes sense. Wow. Okay. These guys. Is there anyone else out there that wants to be on the Eraser podcast? Please write in to Parker at Eraser. And
that's
let
not
me know.
His email address.
Send, your email.
Send me a email describing why you should be on the Eraser podcast and we can kick these other two idiots off. But
hold on while I mute Parker. Oh no. He's on mute.
Oh, you can't unmute it?
No.
Oh, okay.
I have to do it myself now. He can mute me. He can't unmute me.
I didn't realize that the power I had control of.
I don't remember where I was going. Oh, wait. Yes, Bounty. That's right. So I get a call from the team. You know, we are a grocery store chain that owns us, Food Country USA, greatest grocery store chain in the history of the world, and especially in the USA. I get a call from Don, who's owner. He said, hey, I got Bounty. I said, we need to do a scheme. He said, I want to do a scheme. I said, I got the guy.
Yes.
Let me call him. I called JD Laird. JDR Graphics does our schemes on Eraser, has done the Kligerman Sports / Burton Kligerman Esports Valvoline ones forever. He's a master. I said, JD, I got a sponsor. I've got something in my mind. I don't know what it is, but I feel like I've seen Bounty on a car before. And he goes, I know what you're thinking. Hold up. Boom. In my inbox. That scheme looks incredible. We went with it. That's how it went down. And I think it's the best looking truck every time. Yeah. He does.
Yeah.
That one is incredible.
It's pretty
He
insane.
Should win awards. If there was there should
there better
be
die
paint cast, scheme man. Awards. Why is there not a paint scheme Ooh. Awards? Why doesn't Eraser create the paint scheme awards?
I know like trading paints and like some other people do like those tournaments where like you vote on Twitter polls. But we need to be making trophies and stuff, you know?
Ah, we should. We should make a full thing where it's like we get to the end of the season and we take the NASCAR Cup Series. We do the Xfinity Series, Truck Series, Formula One, Formula E. I don't know, everywhere. Let's just do best paint schemes in the world. And then we just you hand out awards to the designers. We don't want to hand it to the teams. We want the teams to tell us who the designers are. Yeah, that's what we want. We're fighting. We're for the design. We're pro designer.
Yeah.
Over here at Eraser.
Yeah, your big brother.
Yeah, big brother. We big corporate. Big corporate America. We're here for the designer.
I gotta say, mad respect that it on the B post you guys have JDR Graphics on the B post. So mad respect for that.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. We always give them a little shout. Eraser's on there. Love it. Back.
Mm-hmm.
Finally.
Glad you found the vinyl to cut out to put into the eraser shape onto there.
Very
the
reason hasn't been there is that to make.
We have not been able to get the stickers printed. Mostly my fault, but
question.
I got stuff going on.
Yeah, I got a random question for you, Parker. Okay. You said you have that area down there. What if we slap a QR code on there that takes you to the podcast? You just
who's
going to
be able to scan that?
I don't know, 50,000 people who bought.
Well, I guess Fox. I guess Fox does like zooming in on trucks, so maybe you could.
Yeah, yeah.
You actually, we could use QR codes anytime we want. Why don't we do it to our newsletter, and then they'll get the podcast. It automatically brings you to sign up for your newsletter.
What if we make the profile pictures on all the social media as a QR code? Let's play having a logo.
I'm actually not against that idea.
We don't need a logo.
Should we do it like the company that used the logo to sponsor me and used to exist, where it's the name is also in the middle? They used a QR code company where they put the logo in the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's actually not a bad idea. We could do a QR code NFT.
Okay, let's move on.
No, I was on the brink of something brilliant. Now you own a link to a link.
That's actually kind of a cool idea. That could be cool. That could be cool. Okay.
I mean, I'm not against it. You scan it, you get it. Maybe we make a limited edition, limited quantity. You scan the truck, you get something. I don't know. You tell me.
I was serious, so I mean.
No, I think we absolutely could, but here's what's going to have to happen. I'm putting you in charge of QR code formation.
Operations.
And operations at Eraser. And you and need QR to figure out how to get this thing made, where it's going to go, and how we get it on the truck. You do all that, it will go on the truck.
Question, does it need to be approved by NASCAR?
I think I know about it. It can't go anywhere bad, but probably not. I don't know. Well, yes. Wink, so, wink. Yes, yes.
Okay,
well,
so
no, we just have cannot... to, all we have to do is include it in the scheme. Once we submit the scheme.
Okay, so yeah. We can't replace the number with a QR code, right?
That is not
I'm just trying to figure out the... Okay.
The QR code just sent you like a blank page and it says the car. It's just a 75.
Oh my god.
Or one on the windshield or on the rear.
Well,
glass,
or
right?
Or not windshield.
I would like, we don't get, although I love the manufacturers, we are not particularly with a single manufacturer at the moment. I want to replace all the manufacturer spots with decals with QR codes that bring it to stuff we want to sell. No, it should bring you to
it's like a very it's
page.
A very visible.
No, wait. Just like it brings you to a page that you then can choose who your favorite manufacturer is, and that's who we'll go to the next time.
Ah.
The next race.
I do like the idea of a very visible like Toyota logo with just a QR code over it.
No, that's fair. They're
that
good.
Would be
they're
funny.
Good folks. I'm being facetious, but I.
No. Parker loves you.
Yeah,
I can roast you.
I love the manufacturers. I'm not a truck driver. They are the lifeblood of the sport. So they're the only ones who spend
love
more
them.
On the sport than
love
TV.
Death.
Yeah.
Can we just enter NASCAR as a manufacturer in our manufacturer design? Is just a QR code, like just a big square block that we can slap whatever QR code we're choosing to promote that week.
We could just become the QR truck.
Oh,
yeah, people can buy their own QR code and have a bunch of them.
We could do
it's
one.
It's like $1 million
website. Brings you,
where you buy pixels.
We do, yeah, you buy. Then we do where you can go to Food Country and get like money off food. I don't know. We'll figure it out. And then each week, you don't know. Wait, then eventually it gets to where you don't know what it's going to bring. It's a surprise, but it's a race to figure out what the QR code brings you to each week. One week it might be...
Oh, it's like a puzzle.
Yeah, one week it might bring you to Eraser. One week it might bring you to a Food Country USA promo. One week it might bring you to our sponsor that week's website. You don't know. You just going to have to find out. And it only allows like 5,000 scans and then you'll never know. It's a race.
Oh, wow. There you go. I was thinking, have you ever heard of an ARG, an alternative reality game?
Oh my goodness.
your truck so is the key. Maybe we should get back to racing.
What is happening?
No, I want to hear it now.
that Parker's truck is part of this alternative reality, and the only way to get new pieces of information to solve the alternative reality game is by scanning Parker's truck, and that means you have to have to be there in person to get new details, and they post them onto the subreddit to try and figure out the big mystery.
Yeah, I want it to be a bigger mystery. Yeah, I want it to be a big thing.
Look,
solving there the was Kligger Bean mystery.
This past weekend had 550,000 people watching on TV for the trucks. I think our QR code should get at least 485,000 of those. Just putting it out there.
No, yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I agree.
Yeah, yeah.
I gotta figure out and build out the network.
A QR code. We need to start putting QR codes there and promoting it. Josh, I'm putting
QR
you
QR codes
that.
Everywhere.
Okay. I love it. I love QR codes. I think we should become the QR. I should be the QR code racer. We just did the most successful QR code promotion in history, selling 60,000 hoodies. So it was the most scanned QR code in NASCAR history promotion.
If you didn't have a sponsor when you are doing that whole cycling QR code thing, could you just go to a blank web page that says, "Hi, please sponsor me," and then your email address?
We could do that.
Okay.
Sure. Right. We just direct it to Eraser, Food Country, you know, so on and so forth. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
This is fun. Let's do it.
You
heard it here first, podcast guys. Let's talk racing.
Xfinity race.
Okay. I was gonna say, where do we want to start? And I think we need to like rapid fire through all the races and our big points on them. So starting Xfinity.
Yeah.
All
right. Xfinity race. Well, we already did truck race. Who cares? I don't even remember who won.
Mm-hmm.
Who cares? Mm-hmm. William Byron. Okay. Xfinity race.
Thank you. Haley Deegan got in an argument. It was visibly uncomfortable.
Oh yes. Yeah, she was very upset.
Who
knows, honestly. I've never seen her in my life.
Lawless Allen.
There you go.
That guy, 45?
Yeah.
All right, I have a photo.
Say it.
I'm not going to derail on this. I've never talked to the kids. I'm sure he's a wonderful human being. But that truck, I took a photo of it after the race because every single panel
was
dented or scraped up or beat up on that thing. And I watched him do a big portion of it, and I saw the 18 trying to move him out of the way, and he wouldn't get him out of the way enough. And I was like, this is a calamity. And I'm watching this whole thing. And then you look at my truck, which has like a donut on it on the right side from touching solder, I think. And I'm like, wow, That is aggressive. That is I took a photo of the two differences of them. I was just like, this is so wild. But I hope the kid he'll figure it out. So anyway, moving on.
They had a little argument. Surprisingly, Johnny Sauter, about 30 laps in the race, completely doored Haley Deegan for no reason.
I saw that. That's unfortunate.
Not
she's running well.
Clear.
Yeah. She did a good job. I thought she was running. Where did she fit? Didn't she beat me?
Let me see. I thought she did.
I think so.
Results.
Her truck was also pretty beat up, but
yes, she finished. That's the entry list.
Oh,
she was around like that wasp's nest.
That means
she'd
be the first one.
Yeah, she was around that wasp's nest in the top 10, where people were just beating on each other.
This results page, it just has like 6 and 7 completely empty from the results page. The heck?
Who knows?
Oh, I don't know. This is so broken.
I don't even want to.
All right, carry on. It don't matter. There, none of this matters. Let's get to the Xfinity race.
Okay. Xfinity race was pretty. I loved the Xfinity race. I wish it would have never ended. I was having a great time watching it. They kept wrecking. And Landon was slowly moving his way through the field. Yeah,
he was on it.
He looked quick.
He was what? Top two in the boat. What was he? Second in one stage and fourth in the other or something? He got the most points, I'm pretty sure, of anyone in the race.
Wow.
Yeah, that is great, honestly.
Yeah, Brandon Jones went to the back a couple times, so.
And then you had the craziness at the end. The Sam Mayer gets a spins the tires, doesn't get a good restart, gets turned into the I don't even know who, and the whole field wrecks into a literal parking lot.
No
Dale Jr. picked up 487 positions, which was awesome.
Yep.
After getting spun out by his own driver and
someone
who he's called basically his son on his podcast.
There's a hot topic debate.
Yeah. Did he get wrecked by him? I'm just going to say
I think it was Dale's fault.
That car had hit that car to get to him. So TJ Majors also said he felt like Josh Berry, you know. Gave him the something there. So just
really?
Saying. Yeah. Yeah.
I only saw one replay of it. It looked like Dale came up, but who knows?
Hmm.
I
don't know.
But
Dale had a strong argument after the race where he's like, this is my only race. I got to get all I can get, you know? And Bob was like, that's a great point.
It's his car too. Why doesn't he do it?
His
wants?
Car. He can wreck it.
If anyone complains, just all he has to do is point to the thing that says Junior Motorsports on the side, and that should silence any arguments.
You see that? That's me. That's me right there.
Reminds me of the time when I flew on Brad Keselowski's plane, and we were supposed to be there at 7:30, and he wasn't there at 7:30, and I turned to the pilot and said he's late, and he pointed to the logo on the plane. He said, and it was his name, and he said, "Whenever he arrives, he's on time."
Yeah,
I was like, and that is true. You are right.
So then, crazy. We're going to talk about the finish.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. Sam Mayer, Ty Gibbs get together. Brandon Jones wins. Landon sneaks through when Sam and Ty are wrecking each other and get second place. Shout out to Landon.
Shout out.
He on the cooldown lap. Ty Gibbs ran into Sam Mayer. They also ran into him on pit road. But you got fined for today, $15,000 by NASCAR.
Which is hilarious. That's
that'll
a
hurt.
Fun fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, very kind of tiny. and then completely pieced him up, completely pieced Sam Mayer up after the race.
All right.
Which, so, with his helmet on, not cool.
Yeah.
I'm very curious, when Ty looked back and watched that, did he go, that was my fault. I didn't realize I was three wide and just came down on Sam.
Yes.
Well, they've had a long rivalry, so I think anytime they're next to each other, they're going to blame the other person no matter what.
Which is wonderful. For both of those guys, I'm just going to tell them they need to lean into this, especially Sam. Sam needs to play this up as much as he can because, no offense, you're in really good equipment. You're a very young kid. He's obviously a very talented individual. I've seen him do some incredible things in what's the ARCA series now.
Very fast.
Xfinity has been a big jump for him compared to Ty. But I will just say that a lot more people are going to know Sam Mayer's name the more they keep this up and lean into it because these two are young and great rides, have the funding to be in these rides. And so they're going to be racing around each other a lot and people are going to look forward to that. So lean into it. Probably don't need to punch each other in the face, but I love the little quips.
No, it's probably not a good idea.
Good interviews. I love that. It's good stuff.
I want more punching in faces. Okay. I mean,
Josh is for it.
I'm not going to condone violence.
Just take your damn helmet off. Take it off. You're going to throw punches. You got to be able to receive them.
We need to have a NASCAR boxing league where it's all regulated. Referees involved. Okay, everybody's safe.
Jeffrey Earnhardt would win by like a bajillion because he's an MMA fighter. Yeah,
is he really?
Or a boxer? True. Didn't he do that a couple years ago? Oh. He was like literally a fighter.
Kevin Harvick manages UFC fighters.
I would.
Ooh, this is dead, true.
I've never thrown a punch.
I would be terrified.
You're pretty tiny. You'd probably get messed up.
I'm built like a fighter. I just don't know how to fight.
I would be terrified if I got matched with BJ McLeod.
Listen, NASCAR drivers don't understand this. When you get in a fight, you need to protect yourself. It's rule number one, fighting. You got to protect yourself, okay?
Yeah, okay.
But don't have a helmet on. Don't do that. That's too far.
Floyd Mayweather's team would do really well if they made this adjustment? Do you think that would be like a perfect middle management there thing? Yeah, so...
I mean, you'd have the right coach. There's no doubt about that. Hey, hold on. Why do you keep just
going? Okay.
You just love talking over me.
What? Yeah,
I don't know if that's the internet. You. Oh, is it? You think that's the internet?
No, timeline here, you guys both started talking at the same time.
Weird.
Parker, are you moving on to a new subject?
No. I want to stick with this one real quick. So
Go ahead.
I just want to say, when I watch that back, and I'd be curious to know what Ty thinks about this, I don't think Ty realized that they were three wide and Landon and them were below them. And so Sam couldn't be any lower, and they were getting door checked. So like he didn't check him in the wall. He obviously moved him for $100,000 before that. But then I don't feel like, the wall portion was entirely like warranted the reaction, because if you look at it, the Landon Castle is literally below there. They can't get any lower. So I'm just saying, that's my thing.
Yeah. Well, they were already hitting each other before Landon got there. Landon just kind of filled the hole,
Got it. I mean, it was a great move. I mean, go Landon. Let's go. Let's go 10 car.
I mean, at the end of the day, At the end of the day, who is fighting for $100,000 at Talladega now? Land and Cast.
Oh, is he really?
Yep.
I didn't know
so
that.
So he is a Dash for Cash eligible. And let me remind you, on the last lap of the Xfinity race, he was like sixth or seventh place. On the inside line, he was like third in the line. So.
Oh, at Daytona or Talladega?
At Daytona.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
So we. And he's with a collie car. And I think it's both him and AJ are both Dash for Cash eligible. So now. Just saying. Big opportunity there for collie.
We'll
have a great day.
Yep. They're pretty good at those tracks.
Totally forgot he's racing for $100,000, but that's pretty cool.
I didn't even know.
I've only had that happen one time when I was in Xfinity back in 2013. I had a chance at that one time, I want to say. But I think where we ended up was like New Hampshire, which I suck at, and so it was terrible.
Oh, rip. Rest in peace.
Rip. Rip.
The last thing I wanted to touch on, I've been noticing this for a couple of weeks. There's certain NASCAR drivers who drink a certain, or sponsored by a certain canned beverage. particularly one individual in particular, which after qualifying or practice or the race and they're drinking said beverage, you can obviously tell by the way they're moving the can, there's nothing in that can. And I've had it, okay?
Oh,
if
really?
You hear me, it's Monster.
Water.
It's Monster and it was Ty Gibbs.
No, I mean, it's
okay?
Usually, but it's usually water in there.
I don't care. If you're sponsored by Monster, you're drinking Monster, okay?
That's absolutely not true. I can tell you this right now. They literally have a can service that makes canned water.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm saying if I'm sponsored by Monster, what I'm saying is Monster should sponsor me because I would actually be drinking Monster. Okay, I wouldn't be lying about it.
Well, you can't just, you know, sometimes there's times you don't want it like 11 o'clock at night after a race.
Well, you should have thought about that. You should have thought
actually,
about
I that.
That Monster,
I do drink Monster sometimes or I drink energy drinks afterwards. So I do that sometimes. Yeah. All right, I'll give you that.
Either way.
I'll give you that.
That's fair.
It upsets me every time.
I probably drink more energy drinks over my life and I have drank all the different types of them. I'm a huge energy drink fan, and yet I've never been sponsored by an energy drink, and I find that to be hilarious.
It's ridiculous.
They have insane amounts. You want someone who actually drinks them. I actually drink them, but I don't get sponsored.
Okay, that's fair. Well, I like what Kurt Busch always did. Whenever he'd have a water bottle, which is very clearly a water bottle with a Monster sticker on it. That's fine because it's obviously a water bottle. Don't be lying to me with your Monster can and there's no Monster in it. I'm not buying Monster anymore. I'm just going to buy Red Bull. Ty Gibbs ruined Monster for me.
I have some bad news for you. If you go to Formula One, they have the Red Bull things. That's actually water containers that the athletes are drinking. So
yeah. Of course.
Or are you just upset by the mere fact that it's an empty can? Any liquid would do for you. But it's just clearly
that's part of it. Yeah,
empty.
That's part of it. Because you can tell he's moving around the can. He's shaking it. Like, I drink Monster before. You can't just do that with the can. It's too top heavy and it would just go everywhere. Okay. It's not like he's getting out of the car and they're like, hey, here's a used Monster with two shots left in it from 2 days ago that you put in your fridge in your coach, you know?
I'm just
they're giving him a fresh Monster. At least that's what they're lying and saying that they're doing. It's obviously there's nothing in it. I'm so done with it.
Throwback to when Parker said, hey, let's rapid fire these topics.
All right, we're moving on. Can we move on? Guys.
Yes.
Monster sponsor.
Let's jump into the cup race. A Saturday night cup race. 400 laps instead of 500. Haven't seen that in a long time at Martinsville. And
thank God for that.
Well, hold on. Let's do the highlights of the race. The green flag came out, and then William Byron won at the end. Okay, that was all of them. Thanks.
No. The green flag came out. William Byron beat Chase Elliott off pit road, and then he won.
There were zero passes for the lead on track. There were zero cautions for a legitimate car spun in any direction. There was two cautions for cause, one for debris, still kind of sus, and the second one was for, I think it was the 38 car, hitting the outside wall and continuing to drive off.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I am scared and terrified that Martinsville was like that, Every it's like somehow we've managed to get every other form of racing that was kind of boring into mostly exciting, and yet somehow we screwed up short track racing.
You guys final, know.
Okay, hold on.
Landon Huffman is screaming right now at his TV.
Hold on.
Deservingly so.
Yeah, let's hear it, Parker.
That was absolutely dreadful, and I think that's pretty much common consensus amongst everyone. There was shifting, obviously, involved. The cars have a ton of mechanical grip with the tire. It was super cold, so it laid no rubber down. But I think when you look at what's happening, they're at a speed that becomes where aero becomes an issue. And you have a car that has obviously created great racing at places where aero is an issue. But they're probably in some weird zone right here with this car, the underbody aerodynamics, being at short tracks, that something is up with the better brakes. That it's either, you know, the car is just going so fast and the braking zone is so short, you can't make moves to make get at each other. The car is so gripped up in the center of the corner that you can't hit each other to get each other out of the way because the aero doesn't matter and the mechanical grip takes over at that point. So I think the cool thing is we know it can't get worse. So from here, what happens? I think NASCAR looks at crazy things. I think you look at, I don't even know if this makes sense or it works or how this haven't looked exactly how it's built, but maybe you go to the short tracks of no floor. Maybe there's no downforce to these things, the short tracks, right? Just rip that floor out from under it, put some covering or something, I don't know, but no downforce, no underbody wing, no diffuser, get rid of it. You change the gearing. Goodyear goes to work in making a softer tire. All those things combined, and you're going to have good old stock car racing again with a composite body. We just know that we've found an area that doesn't work. And guess what? I'm not saying add stuff to the cars. I'm saying take stuff away. Take the damn underbody wing away for the short tracks. We're going to save the owners money doing this.
Well,
so
aren't you already doing that for the dirt race?
Are they taking them off?
The rear diffuse? I'm pretty sure they said they were getting rid of the rear diffuser, and it was just
we're already fixing it.
Yeah,
why we're just going to run the damn diffuser less places. Yeah, we're going to run it less damn places, and we're going to save everyone money because the damn thing costs like $40,000 to buy once you rub it on the ground. So let's fix it by just not having it. And I swear, you look at those couple things. This is still a very cool race car. It has composite bodies. They can run into each other, which was obvious. I think the racing is going to be great again. We just got to – we know it can't be worse. So we got only uphill from here. Up from here.
I feel betrayed. You guys know how much I shill short tracks in short track racing. I think every race should be Martinsville. If I was Martinsville, I would be very upset with the car that they brought.
Yeah,
I'd be calling NASCAR Monday morning and be like, hey – you know,
we're going to lock you out if you bring that back.
Yeah, we're not opening the gates.
We're not opening the gates. You'll be parked out front.
Yeah, you're bringing Xfinity cars for the Cup race next time. Okay, that's what you're going to do, or we're going to tear down the track. How about that?
I mean, Martinsville is the one track that I think they could say that because it's like they're going to be like, well, we've been married for the entire time that we've known each other. You can't just break up with me now. 75 years of us.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll fix it. It'll be fixed next time they come around, I think.
Hey, guys.
Without a doubt.
I agree, and I think we will. And it might not happen overnight, but I would be surprised if there isn't massive changes because I think even the owners who are going to have to maybe spend money, or hopefully you don't have to spend money because we'll just take parts away from the damn thing. You know, I'd be surprised if not everyone is on board and saying, look, let's just do whatever it takes to fix this because that was atrocious. And for everyone who bought the tickets, I'm sorry. And just don't give up. We're going to have great racing again. So hopefully you came to Saturday.
Martinsville was great. Still great prices on their tickets, you know.
I bet everyone had a great time that was there, even though it was super cold.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
The last thing I want to say on this, just saying this was not a problem at the Coliseum. We could just replace Martinsville with the Coliseum if we don't want to change anything.
How about you?
Coliseum, the
you
rubber
leave?
Laid down, and it was hot.
It
by the
did.
Way. Just putting
yes.
it out there.
Hot, kind of subjective. I mean,
well, it wasn't 40 degrees out.
It wasn't 30. It wasn't snowing and sleeting beforehand. That was awesome.
Yeah.
It wasn't a snow delay.
Okay.
F1 race.
Yeah. So I haven't watched it yet, but I'll let you guys take it. I haven't. I've been wanted to, but I've been so damn busy. So
I did not stay up for it. I was very distraught after the race. I didn't stay up for it, so I watched highlights the next morning. But go ahead, Josh.
I watched the whole thing. Apparently, well, it's easy for me. It was 10 o'clock at night on the West Coast. I stayed up for the entire thing. It was decent. It wasn't crazy. The new reprofiling of much of the course led to a much faster race. Seemed like there were a little bit more passing opportunities. Carlos Sainz started the race off on the hard tires, which caused the people who started the race on the hard tires had a very difficult time getting them up to heat. So they were just falling back. It was a free fall for Carlos. And then he made a pass, overshot a corner, flew through the grass and got stuck on the sand.
Ruined my fantasy team.
He also qualified ninth, which was atrocious.
That was bad.
Yes. So that was a tough time for him. Just an overall weekend to forget for Carlos. And then we had two safety cars and one virtual safety car. So there were plenty of restarts, plenty of opportunities for strategy to come into play. The medium compound tires, worthless, trash. If you had them on there, you wanted to swap to the hard compound tires as soon as possible. The speaking fact of that, Alex Albon went 55 out of the 56 laps on the hard compound tires and only swapped to the softs on the last lap to meet the requirement of F1's must drive two separate compounds during the race, and managed to score Williams a point.
That was big. That was big. That's the biggest news of the whole thing.
Yes.
Can I interject?
And Max Verstappen blew up yet another engine. Red Bull still having reliability issues. Boom.
Yes. Parker, go back to the tire thing. Do you think maybe because it's a new track surface, is that why the tires are acting weird?
At Australia?
Yes.
Normally that
looks like
the
whole
case.
Place was repaved.
So just so people, and to explain tires and sort of what happens. And thank you for that great synopsis, Josh. Well done.
That was great. That was wonderful.
Thank you. I felt like I was on SportsCenter.
Way better than the Cup race.
I was watching.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, that was a better synopsis than we did with the Cup race. Green flag, changing the pits, end of race. The thing about tires in the compounds versus the track is that I think a lot of fans don't realize that there's so many different aggregates to these surfaces, right? If you look at the mid-2000s when NASCAR was really struggling at a lot of these racetracks and we were bringing brick hard tires to the racetrack, it was because they were creating the asphalt out of a synthetic polymer that's actually currently at Charlotte and has taken forever to wear because it was the track owners believed it would give them 20 years or more longevity on the surface without having to repave. What they discovered though was that the aggregate was so low and it was synthetic, it didn't change. It was impossible to make a tire that could expel rubber and therefore dissipate heat. So then Goodyear and other tire manufacturers had to bring a super hard tire because it couldn't get rid of the rubber and dispel that heat, and therefore you end up with the racing we had at those places at the time. In Formula One, I think it's a very similar thing, especially at places like that are repaved, where the reason the hard tire was probably working the best is that you are not, when you're on brand new surface, it doesn't have that aggregate, which is like the cheese graterness to it. And so the tire doesn't expel rubber, which helps it dissipate heat, and therefore you end up with blistering or you end up with temperature issues, so on and so forth. So most likely the hard tire was the way to go when you could get temp in it because it allowed the longevity, the tire to last without having to get blisters and that sort of thing. So it's a very complex thing. And for all these single tire series, it's something that 20 years ago didn't exist, until we went to this. And in NASCAR's early 90s when you had Hoosier and Goodyear, but in Formula One, as recent as, what was it, 06, 07, that we still had Michelin versus Bridgestone. And you never heard about this stuff, right? Because it was all clandestine and tires were so important and they were using crazy compounds. And that's when we had the lines, the grooves in the tires, and they would go off in the corner and they would all disappear because they discovered how to make the compound become a slick in the corner and just crazy stuff. But that, this has been something that motorsports has had to deal with as we tried to cut costs and do something that helps everyone. in these single tire suppliers, and so you got to figure it out. But there's times where the tire supplier just doesn't get it right because it's really hard to build a tire for all those different surfaces.
Yeah, one of the things that I find very interesting about this weekend, specifically about tires, is it wasn't a set like the way they normally do tires. There is a scale of C1 to C5, C1 being the hardest, C5 being the softest. And normally they do the three tire choices are like C1, 2, 3, or like 3, 4, 5. This one was C2, C3, and C5. And so it was like staggered. And so the softest tire was unusable for the race. It was basically a qualifying only tire. The mediums were graining and the hards lasted the entire time. So it was a very weird set of tires.
And that makes, that's total, like that to me is a repave through and through. The hardest tire works. The other one's grain or blister, most likely, and it's just that's the way it is these places. And it's something that, as a sport, you know, it's funny, we've had this discussion before. Many years ago, we were struggling through this synthetic polymer deal. People were like, let's just go build racetracks the way they used to do them. And I believe that's what they've done at some of the newest repaves. I can't off the top of my head, and so some of the fans out there might be able to tell us, some of the listeners, but I believe there's been some repaves probably in the last 2 or 3 years, 4 years, that were done with a more conventional asphalt like we used to do 20, 30 years ago, as opposed to the synthetic stuff because the synthetic stuff created such bad racing.
Boom. There you go. That was very in-depth.
Yeah.
Look at us getting so technical.
Yeah. That was fun. I like that.
Holy moly.
The only other thing of note, they did start off the weekend with 4 DRS zones. After free practice 2, they deleted one of the DRS zones because they felt it was unsafe. Beyond that, it was a fairly mundane race. Charles Leclerc won it by like a year and a mile, so it wasn't the most epic battle for the win like we've seen at the last two races, but it was cool to see some of the comers and goers. Haas really seems to have slowed down. And
yeah,
Alpine was really fast. It looked like Alonso was bidding for pole.
Fantasy team.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I gave up. I knew they would be fast. I knew it. I'm so angry. When I saw that, I was so angry. I was angrier than Fernando dumping it off in qualifying. Although it wasn't his fault, he had a hydraulic issue, couldn't downshift.
It was the result of a $1.50 seal.
Yeah,
really.
Yep.
Welcome to motorsports. Wow.
Well, the highest of highs, the lowest of lows.
It's wild.
$280 million operation just completely wrecked. R-E-K-T. By $1.50 part. Love that.
All right.
I'll do a quick roundup on MotoGP, and then guys, we should just jump into looking ahead. And we got eNASCAR coming up here tonight.
We got a few other things.
Well, what about IndyCar?
That's right. We got to get an IndyCar too. All right, hold on. So MotoGP, real quick. Pretty cool race at COTA. By the way, they were doing over 200 miles an hour into turn 12. Which was shocking after when we were there in the stock cars doing like 170 and then maybe 180 in cup. I don't know. But then they're doing 212 miles an hour to turn 12. And I was just like, that is awesome. Ducati was super fast and they locked out the first five spots in qualifying. And this incredible young rider who's on a non-factory team and on last year's Ducati, the GP21, who won the first race of the season, Enea Bastianini, won again. Convincing fashion, waited till the last five laps, passed the factory rider, Jack Miller, the thriller Jack Miller, as they call him, and this wild Australian who's on Ducati factory, and went on to win the race. And they call Enea Bastianini the beast. And he goes in the beast mode, kind of like Lewis's hammer time. and he's a star. So pretty cool to see. Also, Mark Marquez, who was the king of COTA, he won 7 out of 8, and there's been 9 races there. He had an issue at the start, fell all the way to dead last, and rode all the way to finish like 6th, and literally had just come back from another injury. Like, the guy is incredible. He's got to be one of the greatest motorsport athletes in the world. And then Jack Miller, the thriller, did a cool thing after the race where he flew Nicky Hayden's flag, who the late Nicky Hayden, who was a MotoGP champion, the U.S. rider. Awesome dude who lost his life a couple years ago, two years ago, riding his bicycle, unfortunately. So, yeah. All right. Moving on to, and you could have caught all that on NBC, and you can catch Portugal on April 24th on CNBC for MotoGP.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Moving on.
Definitely, I'll definitely celebrate my birthday by watching that.
What IndyCar? Let's jump into IndyCar. Long Beach Grand Prix.
Did anybody watch it?
I watched the last 9 laps. They were taking Jimmy Johnson's car off track, I think. And then what's-his-face drove away and won.
Yeah, there was a pretty epic battle between Romain Grosjean and I'm blanking on the name. Who won again?
Was it Newgarden?
Newgarden. Yeah. So yep. Yeah.
Well, I didn't even watch that. You
just said you watched.
I watched the last nine laps.
Doesn't count.
That counts.
No, it doesn't. What was the race at?
I watched
Belle Isle, right?
Long Beach.
It was the famous
street course in America.
Oh. Okay.
You've never really been to Long stupid. Beach.
No. I've been racing Belle Isle on iRacing all week, so I got the two mixed up. I'm sorry.
Got it. I've driven the Long Beach street circuit before in real life. I took my my actual car. I drove it around there, and I could hear Casey Kerwin screaming for us to host an e-racer event on it in the back of my head. So.
Form of the Drift.
I love Long Beach.
I love watching
Long Beach is one of the coolest street courses, well, in the world. It's had a couple different iterations. There's a couple probably racier iterations I wish they would maybe investigate, because I do find Long Beach to be really hard to pass. There's about one or two passing spots, but there was a one in the late 90s that was super short. That was like a 50-second lap. That was wild. Then they had the one back in the 70s that was this crazy one through like these up and like huge elevation changes and then huge elevation changes down.
Is it near? Did it go up like Signal Hill? I don't know how far
it went
that
a big
is.
Hill and then a down in our bill. I thought it was like maybe a parking garage. Epic. I don't know. It was the wildest circuit. I've driven in an R Factor before. And there was a cool video that someone posted about it. I think it was maybe Jordan Taylor posted it. But it was cool. And I love that place, man. That's one of the best street circuits, though. Like when you, there's some amazing moments that have happened there. I went there a couple years ago. I think they said the attendance is 187,000 this year, and they always get like huge amounts of people to show up there. And it's such a cool event. But doing a qualifying lap around that place, when you do it well, like when you watch someone who does an amazing qualifying lap, there's one, I believe it's 1999 or 2000, maybe he might have been in Formula One by that time, but Juan Pablo Montoya has a qualifying lap in kart there that I'd swear he touches the wall like 3 times and gets the pole. Zanardi had a couple laps like that where we're just like, to do a fast lap there, you have to be on the absolute ragged edge and touching the walls. And when you do it well and you see someone do it well, it's just really cool. So
there's nothing.
Also, the IMSA race was there, by the way. And it was a cool, that was a cool race too. That was a good one.
Yeah.
Two things I want to talk about on IndyCar. One, a car ended up in the flower bed finally. Yep. So there was a car in a flower bed.
Also in the Porsche Super Cup. Did you see the Porsche Super Cup one?
Oh, really?
I heard that too. Second, shout out to Jimmy Johnson. He raced with some sort of shattered bone or something in his hand, and they made a custom carbon fiber splint for him to continue to race with. So that's driving through adversity.
He wants it bad. It's just, man, I just love to see him.
I feel bad for him. Speed. He wrecked 3 times.
I thought the street courses would be street courses at Barber. Well, you know what? I felt like the places like Barber Motorsport Park would be the hardest for him. The high downforce, high commitment places. I thought the street courses he would be a little bit more competitive, but it hasn't shown up. So we're all betting on Indy for him. It's all about Indy for Jimmy.
Yep.
So
I'm hoping for something to pick there.
IMSA, by the way, was cool. Sebastian Bourdais put in one of the craziest stints ever, where he fell like 26 seconds behind the leader and caught them all under the green flag run and totally exhausted himself, and then they went on to win. So that was cool.
It's pretty sick.
Yeah. What else do you want to get into?
Well, eNASCAR. Or do we want to? Oh, sorry. Do we want to do first?
We'll end with eNASCAR. Okay.
Oh. Well, do you guys have news?
I do. I have two pieces.
Oh, okay. My news is, have you guys seen Ferrari's new, I think it's 296 GT3 car they're coming out with?
Oh, there's, so oh no, I haven't. That. Oh, because I just got invited to go.
Can Jeez, you send us them?
Oh, is it that car?
Well, it's not I'll the race link. Car, but I think it's the road car.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm talking about the race car. I'll put it in
drive it over to my chat. Place and just leave the keys.
It is a very attractive car. That's all I want to talk about, is how attractive of a car it is. It's like the normal Ferrari 488 GT3, like the front end, but the rear end is like if they took like the Corvette rear end.
Yeah, I could definitely
put the Ferrari wing on it.
Yeah, I could see that. I could absolutely see that. It's interesting how the 458 front end has just kind of changed over the years. I mean, you've had the 458 that became the 488, and now you got this.
Oh, that is cool.
It's a very good looking car. I cannot wait until that's on iRacing.
I cannot wait to see that sitting in a flower bed at Long Beach.
Yeah, me too. That's my news. It's not very good news, but I saw it and I fell in love. And how much would that cost?
More than you have.
I'm about to go take out a loan. All right.
Nah, I don't think you can give it.
Trust me, it's going to be more than that loan you get. Yeah.
Well, I think the 488 GT3 was something like a little more than half a million bucks. So, or 600,000.
For the street model?
No, the GT3. The race
car.
Are you talking about the street car or the race car?
Well, I can't drive the race car on the streets.
No, you can't.
or if I can, I can't have a passenger. You know.
Yeah. Do you know the road car, by the way, has 818 horsepower?
That's pretty cool.
That's epic.
That is just a tremendous amount. Now, the craziest part is the racing GT3. If that's the case, the GT3 spec race car will have like 500. So the road car will have almost like double.
Yeah. Okay. That's my news. What do you guys got?
All right. Josh, you go.
So my two pieces of news, Parker, the world has listened. F1 Manager 2022 will not just be dots going around a track on a 2D track and you going, well, this is lame. It will have 3D tracks. And I imagine they'll have cars racing on those 3D tracks.
Oh.
They just released an image or three images of Baku in F1 Manager 2022. And it actually looks pretty good.
Looks like the Codemaster game.
I'm actually really excited for this. I've been playing through F1 2020 the last couple of weeks through the My Career option. And my favorite part of playing that is sitting there tuning my car, figuring out what resource points I want to invest into for my car to make the car faster. And honestly, the driving part is kind of it's not my favorite part. I enjoy the investment part of it and trying to build it. So I'm really looking forward to this game. It's going to be a lot of fun to build out a team, choose your suppliers and all that. And now you're going to like it, Parker.
All right.
You know, it would be really funny if this game comes out and Parker buys it and then it's really nice tracks, but it's still just dots going around it.
They're 3D dots. Little like marbles going
it's
around
like,
the
yeah,
track.
Yeah, it's like weird. It's just weird. It was a marble simulator the whole time. They just jinxed everybody.
Oh my goodness. I'd love to see an aerodynamic breakdown of a marble. See how that would go.
It's just a circle, you know?
I got another piece of news, so unless...
Go ahead.
Second piece of news is an announcement on April 16th. NASCAR will be having an announcement quoted as the NASCAR Canada announcement. So I'm not sure what that has to do with.
I might have some insight.
You might have insight.
Rumor has it NASCAR is purchasing the country of Canada.
Woo!
That's exciting.
Well, I hope we're going racing in Canada because two of my fondest racing memories have been the Montreal Xfinity race that I did in 2010. The crowd was incredible. The city is amazing. I love Montreal. It's also the first place I saw Formula One. So it's very near and dear to my heart, the Circuit de Gilles Villeneuve. And then the other one was 2017 truck race in Toronto at Mosport. Well, also a track that I had driven on sim racing a million times always wanted to go to. I'd heard so many legendary things about the track, and it was packed with fans. Like, for a truck race, it had to be the highest attended truck race there was. It was so cool, and the vibe was amazing. And downtown Toronto is an hour and a half away, or an hour away, maybe 45 minutes, and just awesome. The most fun I've had racing was probably racing Canada two times I have. So I hope we're going racing there. Who knows?
That's going to be awesome.
Montreal. That's what I'm hoping for.
Let's go, man. Let's go do a cup race. Let's do
the same weekend as F1.
Yes.
Mm. We'll do all three series. We go to Montreal, and it would be – I told them if they brought Cup to Montreal, there would be 250,000 people there. No doubt in my mind.
It'd be huge.
It would be bigger.
Would be. These cars.
Especially four or five years ago, if you brought Cup there, it would have been like bigger than – there would have been more people there than Formula One. I know it. No,
I feel like it would be very similar to the turnout that they got at Road America in Wisconsin.
That was a big crowd.
I always knew that would happen. I knew that would be the case. So
an hour after the Canadian announcement, there is also an SMI announcement. So wonder what that's about.
So that means one track is losing a race, but somewhere in Canada is gaining a race, and I hope it's the Circuit de Gervais or it's Mosport. We're going cup racing Mosport. I would doubt that we're doing that. But
Does SMI own Texas?
Yes.
For sure, right?
His Texas logo is like the SMI.
When is this announcement, right? By the way, 16th?
April 16th. It's going to be local to Bristol, so 2 p.m. and 3 p.m. Bristol time. And for anyone else wondering, an hour and 15 minutes after the SMI announcement, there is a Kyle Larson media time. So if you want to ask questions from Kyle Larson and you're a media member, 4:15 p.m.
So are we going dirt racing? Because why would we get? Oh, he's a champ. He's a farmer. He's a champ.
Yes,
that makes sense.
Maybe it's like an F1 car
guys,
swap.
I got two pieces of news.
Okay.
One, Jeffrey Earnhardt is going to drive a RCR Black number 3 in the Talladega Xfinity race.
That's really cool.
Yep, I thought that's fun. Why not?
Love it.
And this one's for Josh because I know he's a big fan. So Penske Entertainment and Team Penske signed an NFT deal with Autograph, which is owned by, co-founded by Tom Brady. And they will be launching a exclusive NFTs around the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, the Indianapolis 500, and Team Penske. So stay tuned for that. We'll see what it is. I know Josh will be the first to buy those. So
Josh will.
I will. I'm actually really looking forward to having a new profile picture that I can set on my thing. So hopefully I can support it of my favorite driver, Joey Logano. So
how about Tom Brady being a hell of a businessman? But that's all I'm saying. Guys, we got to go watch the NASCAR race.
Yeah, we need to get the hell out of
here. They are 8 laps into heat one right now, and we are not in heat
we're
one.
Missing it. Oh, all right, let's get out of here. Let's go. Bye. Thanks all. See you next week.
Watch the NASCAR race right now.
Watch it right now, but now you'll get this later, so go back and watch it again.
Oh, man, that was a big wreck right there. Oh, man, no, they're wrecking everywhere. What are they doing? Oh, jeez. We're not in this
Colin
race. We're in the next
the race. Colin Bowden and Derek both tie with a 10-lap lead over the whole field?